So, people of the Spirit, we are people who belong to Jesus Christ, children of our Heavenly Father. God fills us with His Spirit as we put our faith in Jesus to be our Savior. And the Spirit of God desires to work through us. And one of the means by which He does this is through the gifts of the Spirit. These are gifts of His grace and of His power. As these flow through us when we're motivated through the fruit of love and through the fruit of the Spirit, it becomes a powerful way that God can work in our lives as His followers and touch the lives of those that He wants to be His followers who do not know Him yet. So today, these are the last three gifts that are mentioned or that we're going to deal with in 1 Corinthians 12. These gifts of speaking are prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. We have the three breakdowns there. We've talked about the rest of them. Today we're going to focus on those gifts of speaking. Turn with me again, 1 Corinthians 12. We've read this every week that we've talked about this, but it's that foundation to remind us that these gifts are here for us to be able to help one another as the Spirit decides and directs us. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, words of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Again, that focus. They're to help each other as the Spirit decides. We're going to start in looking at these gifts of speaking with the gift of tongues. First of all, what are tongues? These unknown languages, or depending on your translation, other languages or other tongues. It's a term that's used in Scripture to refer to speaking in a language that the speaker does not know as the Holy Spirit enables them. It can be a human language, as on the day of Pentecost. If you remember Acts chapter 2, people from all over the Mediterranean world, when they were filled with the disciples, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They're going, how do we hear these people that we know are Galileans who don't speak these languages? How are they able to speak the praises of God and the wonders of God and the works of God in our own languages? And of course, over the course of time, so many stories of how God has reached out to someone in a congregation. I think my favorite is a professor happened to be in a service invited by a friend. He was a professor of ancient Greek. And he heard this person start to speak out. And he goes, I know that. That's Greek. And somebody gave the interpretation. And evidently at that point, on that time, it was pretty much a direct translation. Usually it's more of an interpretation than a translation. After the service, this professor came up to the individual that gave the message in tongues, said, how do you know ancient Greek? And he goes, know what? He had no clue. He goes, I don't know that. But at that moment, God chose to use that gift. See, we'll read where gifts are assigned to the gift of tongues is assigned to unbelievers. And that is one way it can be so. He goes, you know, this has got to be a God thing. And it opened his heart, and he eventually gave his heart to the Lord because of this gift. So Paul refers in 1 Corinthians 13:1 that we might speak in the language of men or of angels. We often refer to tongues as that as our heavenly language. It doesn't make sense to us, but there are some beautiful things about this gift of tongues. First, we need to understand this. Tongues have three different usages. First, or one, they are the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4, we mentioned it earlier. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 19, when Paul meets believers in Ephesus and asks them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "No, we did not." Kind of one of those weird things they're saying, "We didn't realize that the Spirit was being poured out." And so he prayed with them and laid hands on them, and it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and prophesied. There, what I want to bring out here, this can be a stumbling block for some people. I will say this, in my years of ministry, every time I've seen someone filled with the Spirit or been a part of an altar service, or just present, I've always heard a person speak in other tongues as that initial physical evidence. Probably the craziest one I've ever had a part of is when we were attending Cave Springs Assembly of God Church in our college years. We had several deaf students from the college, Central Bible College, that attended the church. And this one young lady, she could basically grunt. I mean, she'd been deaf from birth. But she's signing to the interpreter that, you know, she wants to be filled with the Spirit. So we're at the altar praying with her to be filled with the Spirit. I'm kneeling right across from her at the altar. And you could just kind of, I mean, her physical countenance changed as the Spirit came in and filled her. And I heard this deaf girl that I'd only heard basically grunt before, begin to speak in a beautiful heavenly language. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever experienced. So I firmly believe it. I think it's scriptural. But let me say this. It's the initial evidence. To me, it's a beautiful thing that you don't have to walk away wondering, did I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You know. Because you have that experience of speaking in a language as you, basically you're saying, God, I surrender everything to you. And we, how many know the tongue is one of the hardest things to get under control? And I get myself in trouble with it all the time. But even yielding the tongue, it's that sign of complete surrender to God as you are filled with the Spirit. So, but you should continue to see evidences of the Holy Spirit being in your life. So that's one. Two, they can be a way the Spirit presents a message to the church when paired with the gift of interpretation. This is how the Spirit decides. I'll be honest, I've often wondered why tongues and interpretation, why not just have everybody prophesy? Then you don't need an interpretation. You can understand it. It's in a language you know. But God's a lot smarter than I am. And like I say, there's been so many instances where a message in tongues and the interpretation have just made God so real to those who are present. But that's one of the and that's the focus today, is this message to the church. The third thing with tongues, use for tongues, is they can be a personal means of praying and worshiping God. The tongues are the same, but they're used in different ways. They're all unknown languages, but whether it's the initial evidence or a message to the church, or when we worship God, Paul said, "I'll worship with my mind, and I'll worship in the spirit." Jude, writing to the church, said, build yourself up in the faith by praying in the Spirit. It's just a way where it's kind of like if you've ever had those times when, Lord, I feel this burden to pray, but I don't know what to pray for. And we just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to pray through us, because we know when the Spirit prays, He knows the mind of God and He prays according to the will of God. And that God hears and answers that. He helps us in our weakness when we do not know how to pray. Now, I have friends that are not of the Pentecostal persuasion that when this discussion comes up, I think there's a point of confusion that they look to. They'll often turn to 1 Corinthians 12:30, and Paul in there asks a series of questions, including, do we all have the ability to speak in an unknown language, or in unknown languages, or in tongues? And the answer to that, obviously, is no, because he's saying, are all prophets? Do all work miracles? And his point there, if you read it in the context, and that's where you have to read things in context, is he's bringing out that God uses different gifts and different people in different ways. Not everyone has all the same gifts. I mean, he just talked about the body where there's the eye and the ear, and, you know, if everybody was an eye, you couldn't hear anything. Or if you're all the hand, you know, that these gifts are used by God in different ways. But some say, take this and go, well, the Bible says here, no, not everybody speaks in an unknown language. But the context there is, are they used in this gift of the Spirit to minister in the church? And I think that needs to be very, very, very clear. That, again, they are confusing the two different uses in tongues. All right, well, 1 Corinthians 14 provides teaching on the use of the gift of tongues and more teaches us more about it. So if you turn to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, we're going to read the first five verses. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be speaking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. First, understand, Paul here, his concern and teaching is this. The main purpose of the gifts, whether they're speaking gifts or any of the gifts, is that people, the body of Christ, those who are seeking after God, would be strengthened or encouraged or comforted, that God would be working in their lives through the use of these gifts. Now, when a message in tongues is followed by an interpretation, it fulfills that function. In a sense, it becomes like kind of like prophecy, in that what was spoken is now interpreted in the language we can understand. And while speaking in tongues strengthens you personally, it doesn't help others. Again, keep in context here. Paul is dealing with the use of the gifts within basically the church body in the worship service here. As a church gathers, he wants us to be open to allow the Spirit of God to use the gifts that best minister to the need of those who are present. This is why he contrasts prophecy, which is a known spoken in a known language, with tongues, and says, if there's not an interpreter or if there's not an interpretation, then it doesn't benefit the body, the church, as it's gathered. We look a little further down in chapter 14 to verses 18 and 19. Paul says this, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. That's where I do kind of miss the King James. It shows that Paul was from the south because there it says, I speak in tongues more than y'all. But in a church meeting, I would rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words in an unknown language. It's this idea that desire the gifts from the Spirit that He knows are going to best meet the needs of those who are gathered. And more often, prophecy fulfills that need rather than tongues and interpretation. It's still a gift. The Spirit decides when it's useful. It's for us to be open to that. Part of the reason for tongues is that interpretation is they are a sign to unbelievers. We've talked about this a little bit. It's interesting here that Paul quotes from Isaiah 28:11, in which God says He will send foreign conquerors whose language the Jews would understand, but whose actions would make it clear they were under God's judgment. And in this sense, tongues today are assigned to unbelievers in that it helps them realize they are separated from God and cannot understand His message. They are also a sign in that they let unbelievers know something supernatural is present. But tongues bring only a sign to unbelievers, not a message, which is why Paul encourages believers to seek the gift of prophecy when gathered together in worship, while not forbidding speaking in tongues. It's about being open to the Spirit, allowing Him to lead us and to guide us, and to use us to do, again, to use the gifts that He knows are best for the situation. Well, in verses 27 and 28, we are given further instruction on the use of tongues in a worship gathering. It says this, no more than 2 or 3 should speak in tongues. They must speak one at a time, and someone must interpret what they say. But if no one is present who can interpret, they must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. It seems here that Paul is aware that there are some believers who are very open to being used in the gift of interpretation. I've seen this in probably every church I've been in. You just think for a moment, how often when there's a message in tongues given, we're waiting for Sister Smith or Brother Jones because it's like even sometimes when we're sensing God speaking to us, I want to use you for the interpretation. There's that part in our brain that says, well, no, Sister Smith or Brother Jones is usually the one who does that. There's just that awareness that often there are certain ones in the congregation that seem, again, to be used more often in these gifts, more open to that. The neat thing is that we are instructed in this passage in verse 13 that if you give a message in tongues, you're also to pray that God will give you the interpretation. I've seen that many times. More often, it's usually someone else who interprets, but there are times the person who gives the message also gives the interpretation. And if you, that sense of learning to trust God, again, I see it more often than not. Often when the Spirit is moving in that way, it kind of gets quiet. Especially, this is one of the places where I do miss having live worship. How many times I've seen the musicians all of a sudden just that sense the Holy Spirit is, it just quiets them. They don't quit necessarily, but they get that quiet and there's like that holy hush as the Spirit prepares the way and then directs someone, whether it's a prophecy or tongues and interpretation. But the Spirit directs the church in this. So that as we learn to be used by the Holy Spirit in this gift. If you've ever been used in this, you understand it's a little, feels a little awkward at times. Because it's that sense, God, are you sure you want to be right? You want there to be order, things to be done decently and in order. But then when you take that little step of faith, often at times it's just a few words, and then once you are obedient, it just flows from you. It's an amazing thing to be used by the Lord to touch the lives of others. So the gift of tongues obviously leads naturally to this gift of interpretation of tongues. This gift is given by the Holy Spirit to interpret a message in tongues into a language known by the hearers. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? note it is not a translation. It's not a word for word. Most occasionally it might be, but normally it's more the meaning of the message, not necessarily word for word, that the Spirit will give. Consider at times, I've heard some very, very long messages in tongues, and the interpretation be like two or three sentences, or vice versa. Sometimes that is, but just on a purely human level, you know, just look at some of the slides we're using. I don't know. Can you go back a couple there, Brendan, where we've got both the Spanish and the English up there? Yeah. Notice how long the English version is compared to, and of course, this is a translation. One's real long, one's real short. It's often that way when the gift of interpretation is used as the Spirit enables. Now, this gift, again, it's not, doesn't all of a sudden give somebody the ability to translate or understand a language they haven't learned before. It's kind of one of those use as needed or available as needed. It's in that moment, as the body is gathered together, it's a supernatural revelation from God of the message he desires to give his people. And again, this gift, coupled with the gift of the message in tongues, allows the body to be strengthened and encouraged, not just the one who speaks in tongues. So, this is something, it's a beautiful gift God has for us. I've talked with some in years past over the course of my ministry, and they say, I find it easier to let the Holy Spirit use me to give a message in tongues than to the gift of prophecy. Because if I give it a prophecy, then everybody understands what I'm saying. It's in a known language. And what if I mess it up? If I give a message in tongues, nobody knows if I messed it up. How human of us, right? Again, it's being willing to be used by the Spirit of God in the gifts as he desires. So, we move on to the last speaking gift, which is the gift of prophecy. This gift is a message the Holy Spirit gives a believer that is spoken in a known language to strengthen, encourage, and comfort others. It is preferred to a message in tongues unless the tongues are interpreted, because it is understood by those who hear it. Again, amazing gift of God. I know over the course of our ministry, just how many times we've been looking for direction or seeking answers, and somebody gives a prophecy or the tongues and interpretation, but more often a prophecy, and it's like God just talking right at us, talking to us. Maybe not real detailed information, but it's just like we've been seeking God, and it's like God gives the answer that we've been looking for. And it's interesting in regard to how God works in unbelievers' lives. Verses 24 and 25 refer to prophecy revealing secret thoughts of people as evidence of God's presence among his people. And it could be that Paul has in mind here the gifts of knowledge and prophecy working together, that word of knowledge and prophecy working together. I know I've mentioned this example before, but when Brother Sachs shared it, it just stuck with me all these years ago. He was a guest speaker, and as he's preaching, he just has the sense this is what the Spirit wants him to say. And I'm not picking on Tom here. The guy's name happened to be Tom. He goes, I'm preaching, and I just have the sense this is what God wants me to say. And he says, your name, you may be here, and your name may be Tom, and God wants you to know that he knows you're stealing your neighbor's cattle. And then he didn't think a lot about it and went on. Well, at the end of the service, a really red-faced guy named Tom comes up and confronts him. My name is Tom. How did you know I was stealing my neighbor's cattle? Well, God knew. And Tom needed to know that God knew because Tom needed to repent and make things right. And God loved Tom enough that when he couldn't get his attention any other way, here was this word of prophecy to challenge him to make that change in his life. God doesn't do it to beat us up. Strengthen, encourage, and comfort. And sometimes to confront so that he can work in us. Verses 29 through 33 in 1 Corinthians 14 provide more instruction on the use of this gift of prophecy. Let two or three people prophesy, and let the others evaluate what is said. But if someone is prophesying, and another person receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who is speaking must stop. In this way, all who prophesy will have a turn to speak one after the other, so that everyone will learn and be encouraged. Remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the meetings of God's holy people. So, what we see here is first, after one or more prophecies is given, or have been given, they are to be evaluated. This is a safety net for the church. It's also a safety net for us as we're learning to be used by the Lord. Sometimes, part of that discerning of spirits, sometimes we can be a little overzealous in our own spirit and think, God wants me to say this when it doesn't come from the Lord. But that's a safety net for us. I'd much rather somebody start, I've seen it happen, somebody that's maybe just starting to learn to be used by the Holy Spirit, where they might... They start out like, thus saith the Lord, God wants you to know. And then it's kind of like, oh, maybe that wasn't God. And then they just get quiet and sit down or quit talking. And you're going, okay, what happened here? Well, that person began to realize, no, the Lord wasn't really wanting to speak through them at that point. But I would rather that... than for us to be so fearful that we won't allow the Spirit to work through us at all. Because see, to me, that's a safety net. If somebody were to stand up and prophesy, thus says the Lord, go out and kill all your neighbors. I know that's kind of extreme, right? But the church is going to judge that, right? We're going to say, you know, brother, sister, thank you for your desire to be used of God, but we evaluate this. We discern that this really isn't a word from God. Why? It contradicts his word. And that becomes the guide of our evaluation. Does it line up with Scripture? If it doesn't line up, then we don't act on it. And Paul doesn't really address it here. There are a few examples in Scripture of what we would call personal prophecy. But I would use this caution. I use this caution. I would encourage you to as well. I'd say 99% of the time, God sends someone to confirm what he's already speaking in your own heart. On rare occasion, God does speak ahead of time and maybe prepare you for something that's coming. But most of the time, that gift is used as confirmation. And if you have that sense that, okay, you know, if somebody does, you know, just don't write it off. Ask the Lord, God, is this something that you're preparing me for? I mean, often God does that necessarily through personal prophecy, but God does still give dreams and visions and speaks to our hearts to prepare us in this way. But again, the prophecy is to be evaluated. I know in some larger churches, they actually have like elders that will sit at different places that have a wireless mic. And they've instructed their people because, you know, this is an auditorium that maybe sit, you know, 500 to 800 people. Well, it's going to be hard to be here if your voice isn't amplified. So they have trained their people because the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, is the way the King James says it. The Holy Spirit's not going to work in you in such a way that, oh, I just had to do it. No, he works with us. It's a cooperative effort. So they have trained their people. If you have a sense that God has a message for the people, and they've taught them, you know, there are different ones throughout the congregation, and they come up and basically share, especially prophecy, they will share it with that elder who will, yes, that this, you know, who evaluates it and says, yes, this seems to be a message from the Lord. And they'll get the attention. I think they even use texts or something. I don't know. Somehow they let the platform know we have someone who has a message from the Lord. And then they hand them the microphone and they share it that way. Which, you know, in some ways it seems like, well, shouldn't it all be spontaneous? It works, and the Spirit is allowed to move that way in a manner that is, as we read here a little bit later, that it should be done decently and in order. I've had friends who have shared with me that the Spirit of God began to deal with their hearts on a Monday and said, this is the message I have for the church this coming Sunday. Not the preacher, but just this is the prophecy. This is the message I have. And began preparing their hearts and working in their hearts on Monday. So that when Sunday came, and again, the Spirit worked in such a way that it's like that little nudge, this is the time, share the message. So, sometimes it does seem a little bit more spontaneous, but who believes God, who created the universe and set the plan of salvation in order, can work ahead of time and prepare things ahead of time. So, those two things, the prophecy, if more than one person is given a message, the first person should stop and allow the next person to speak. The messages are evaluated, and then hopefully we praise or respond to God appropriately. And two, prophets are in control of themselves. We've talked about that. Now, prophecy is most often foretelling. Can be foretelling. Let me rephrase it. An example of that is Agabus in the early church he's referred to as a prophet. That he, when he went to Antioch, he foretold an upcoming time of famine. It's found in Acts 11:28. But most of the time, the gift of prophecy is what we would refer to as foretelling. God speaking a message to his people in that moment to strengthen, encourage, or comfort them. Again, too often we think of prophecy as, oh, what's going to happen in the future? Well, most prophecy has to do with what God's working in your life right now. And any believer who is filled with the Spirit can be used in this gift. That's a beautiful thing, is it's not just the pastor, it's not just the elders, but those whom are willing that the Spirit will move can be used in any of these gifts. Now, this is one of those gifts that what we're dealing with today most of the time is that moment, that message given in the moment as the body is gathered. But as I just mentioned, the Bible refers to Agabus as a prophet. Philip the evangelist and his four daughters are referred to as prophets or prophetesses. The scripture talks about one of the gifts, offices, or that God raises up to serve in the church is that office of prophet, in addition to evangelists and pastors and teachers. So there are some that it's like God has chosen, I'm going to use them as my mouthpiece, and it's recognized by the body. God often speaks through this person. So, as we bring this time of looking at the gifts of the Spirit to a conclusion, I want us to look at the first and last verses of 1 Corinthians 14 to guide our response to God's word for us today. 1 Corinthians 14, 1, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. The goal is love, to build the body up, to be used by God to minister his gifts of grace and power to them, to desire those special abilities the Spirit gives. Then verses 39 and 40. So, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and don't forbid speaking in tongues, but be sure everything is done properly and in order. That God would use us in whatever gifts he desires, and that as we're used in those gifts, we will be a blessing and an encouragement to others. Precious Father, thank you for sending Jesus that we might become your children. And Jesus, thank you for sending the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, who fills our hearts and transforms us from the inside out. That he is active every moment of our lives as we live for you. And that through the gifts of your Spirit, you can work through us, that we might help one another, that we might have the power to be your witnesses in this world, to manifest the reality of your supernatural presence in the lives of unbelievers. That God, your church would go forward in victory. That our witness would be powerful in this world. And that our testimony, as God moves among us, would draw others that are hungry for the things of God, wondering, is this God thing real? And as they come in, they would experience your presence and your power as you move among us, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to sing that song, Holy Spirit, Rain Down. And as we do, just ask the Lord to help you in your desire to be used by the Spirit of God, and that the Spirit of God would help you learn to yield to his leading, that we may all be used of the Spirit to minister God's grace and power in this world.